number of years ago now, decades ago, that an evangelist came to our church, and he preached special meetings in our church. He's a guy that I knew in Bible college, and he was King James Bible evangelist. And he used a phrase repeatedly during that particular week that I've pondered in my heart and found that it had a lot of wisdom to it. And I want to take the phrase that evangelist used for the title of my sermon for you tonight. Before I repeat the phrase as the title of this sermon, I would like to give you some disclaimers. First, let me begin by giving you six disclaimers about my blessings from God through special women in my life. First of all, I want to mention my mother, who's living with us and who gave birth to me and prayed for me and does pray for me, and she prayed that God would call me to the ministry, and I was called, and she said specifically that even if it means taking him out of Michigan and away from our home and that I don't see him much, God, I pray that you'd have him be in the ministry, and that's exactly what happened. I praise God for that. And then I praise God for my wife. My father used to say, I got depressed when I visited you in Scranton. But he said, when you got your wife, it was like I was encouraged because I saw God was for you. And praise the Lord for my wife. I do praise the Lord for three daughters, six children, three daughters. I love all of my daughters. And praise God for them. And I have 16 grandchildren. The majority of them are girls. And I love my girls, all of them. And then I am surrounded here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church with a dream team of hardworking women. And they are invaluable to their husbands because we have godly men in this church. And I'm surrounded with those men, and those women that are married to those men are partnering with their husbands, and by extension, they work in the ministry in the church, and it's such a blessing to have that the dream team of those kind of wives and mothers who are such good women, and I just am so grateful for them. Well, I will. I'm just so grateful for that dream team of godly women that we have in our church. And I also want to say that as I preach tonight and think about a few good men, behind every man that's great for God, there's a woman that's great for God. And many times she's more behind the scenes working in the home and with the children. But her works cannot be hidden. They come out and she'll be praised, the Bible says, in the gates. And tonight I have no woman in the active membership of Scranton Revival Baptist Church when I preach this message that I'm preaching it negatively about. Not one woman. I highly appreciate the testimony of women in the Bible like Ruth, Esther, and Mary, the Virgin Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, that gave us our greatest gift by bearing him in her womb and helping to nurture him. I don't like to preach negative messages, but just like Jude that wanted to write about the blessing of our great salvation, yet the Spirit of God led him to warn against the actions of the enemy, and I'm talking about Satan working through false teachers. And just as God greatly used the Apostle Peter to testify to the glory of the Lord and call him God, the Son of God, the Christ of God, and he testified to that, and God said, Jesus, who is God, said, you know, Peter, flesh and blood, didn't give you this revelation. And then that same Peter was used by Satan to try to stop the Lord from doing God's will. So God has greatly used women to positively help and influence my life and the lives of men to live for God. But the devil also can use womanhood to do just the opposite of that. To have a relationship to a key man and get him in deep doo-doo. A woman has the potential to be an exuberant blessing or excess baggage in the life of a man of God. You know, when my wife signed up to be my wife, I'm sure she didn't know all that she was getting into. But she had a heart for God. And that's kept her going, and it's kept me going. And I want to say that Satan, throughout history, knows that the greatest influence on a man is a woman, and so he will attack a woman in order to bring down a man. I've had girls say to me, and they're right when they say it, a man is called to be a pastor, an evangelist, a deacon. A woman is mainly called to help a man. That's right. Some pastors and churches get that wrong. I understand that. And with all of those disclaimers and the background that I just gave you, I'd like to tell you the phrase that that evangelist used over and over again. And I've entitled it to my message. And 3 years ago, Brother Jesse reminded me that that was a key message to him that I preached. And the name of the message is, it's always a woman. It's always a woman. Number one, it's always a woman. So was Eve. In Genesis 3, you can turn there, and the Bible says it, and I'll read it. Genesis 3, look at verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And, don't miss this, gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Now there's the key. Satan is a chess player. He didn't come at the man directly. He knew that wouldn't be the best course. He said, I'm going to get the woman. And through the woman, I'm going to get to the man. Satan's a chess player. How many of you have ever played chess? Raise your hand. How many of you know the object of the game and what will give you the victory? Raise your hand. You got to get that queen, don't you? You got to get that queen. And when you get that queen, you got the game. And that's what Satan knew. If he could get the queen of the world, Adam was the king, the lord of all creation. He had his job as the keeper of the garden and to name the animals. He did all of that before Eve. Eve came along to erase his aloneness and to be his queen and to help him max out in what God had called him to do. And she corresponded to him in every area in order for him to be able to be fulfilled. And Satan knew that. And so he said, I got to get the queen. And he did it. The Bible says, but I suffer not a woman, or allow not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. That's 1 Timothy 2:12 through 14. You know, there's a reason why God didn't call a woman to be a pastor. So somebody says, well, that's not right. You're discriminating against women. No, God said that a woman's not to be a pastor. Why? Number one, because Adam was created as the Lord of creation, the king of the world. It was Adam that was the king, and if he fell, the whole world fell. When Eve sinned, we didn't fall. It was when Adam sinned that we fell. Adam was appointed to be the leader and head of the race. Eve was to be his helper. And God says, in fitting with the original creation, man is born to be into leadership, and the woman to help the man. So a woman shouldn't usurp authority over a man and try to take on being a pastor. Adam's role was that. But there's a second reason. God made the woman to be an emotional support that is strong in the area of emotional caring and being able to be in touch with emotions. I thank God for my mother as a little boy, how she helped me in that area so many times. Thank God for a woman. But Satan knew that he could play on her emotions, and he deceived her through her emotions, and she fell for it and sinned because of it and took the forbidden fruit and she gave it to her husband. He was not deceived. He knew if he ate that fruit, he would die. He knew it. Why did he do it? He didn't want to lose her. He didn't want to become a widower. He didn't want to lose the woman. And so he ate the fruit. So Satan knew when he got her, he would have a lot of leverage to get Adam, who was not faked out. When Satan said, "You shall not surely die." No, he said, "I'll die, but I'll die for my wife." That was not love. That was not leadership. But Satan used it. And I'm just saying that Satan knows how to bring us down. It's always a woman. I remember many years ago, I had a couple we took out to dinner, Cooper Seafood. My wife was there, I was there, the couple was there. And I remember the wife didn't have a lot of influence in the church. She was a good woman, but she wanted to be a Christian school teacher. She was gifted. But my wife warned me, as women will do, don't give too much authority and leadership to that couple. And I said, "No, that's all right. The Christian school, they're going to have the Christian school." They had the Christian school. But then, as the wife began to get influence and leadership through the school, because, you know, when you take care of people's children, the way to the heart of the people is through their children. And she had a lot to say about the children, and the ladies gave their heart to this lady, and this lady pulled away from the ministry and goals of our church. Still a fundamentalist, but coming up with some weird things that were leading people away. And men went along with their wives, and her husband, who's a key deacon in the church, went along. And what did it lead to? It led to losing a lot of families that were led away and followed a deacon out of the church who was following his wife, who was not really locked into her husband, who was not locked in to the man of God and to the church. I'm saying it's always a woman. In fact, I went back over the three attacks that were the key attacks on this church. 1984, Brother Joe, you remember that one. 1996, you remember that one. And 2017. And all three, Satan used a woman that was the influence for evil that pulled down the work of God. And I thought about John the Baptist, that great preacher. He was preaching and he was standing for the truth, and he even rebuked King Herod and told him, "It's wrong for you to have your brother's wife. This is sin according to the law of God." And he took a stand, and Herod didn't kill him because of that. Herod respected him as a man of God. But boy, his wife, she said, "I'll get that devil. I'll get that preacher." And she made good on her promise. She had a daughter who did a belly dance for Herod. And Herod got all into the belly dance. And he said, I'll give you anything you want to half of my kingdom. She went to her mother. It's always a woman. And Satan breathed a word to the mother. Ask for the head of John the Baptist on a plate. And she did. And Herod didn't want to do it, but it's always a woman. He did it to please a woman. I'm just saying it's always a woman. And so it was with Eve right at the beginning. And so it was with Sarah in Genesis 16. It says in Genesis 16, 1 through 4, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah knew God had made a promise to Abraham to have a child, but they were getting too old. And she was barren, and she was afraid that, you know, she wouldn't see her husband get what he wanted. And so she said, hey, I have a maid here. Let her be a surrogate wife. And so Abram agreed to it. He said, okay, I'll do it. And he gave in to his wife. He didn't wait upon God for his leadership. He had veto power. By the way, a president can veto a bill that Congress passes, can he? It has to be overridden by a two-thirds majority. He has veto power. President Reagan wanted a line item veto. That meant that when Congress gave him a budget, he could line item veto things out of that budget to create overspending. Do you know that the man has veto power in the marriage and in the home? Why did God do that? Because God said that's your responsibility to provide spiritual leadership. The wife needs a head. The man needs a heart. And together you work together. And the final decision goes to the man. Anything that has two heads is a monster. Anything that has two heads is always a monster. So Sarah, you know, she came up with that idea, and Abraham gave up his veto power there and let it go. So he takes the responsibility, and she did get pregnant. She did have a boy named Ishmael, and God said he's going to become a great nation. But guess what? He's going to provide problems for Isaac. It would have been better for Abraham not to listen to that counsel. And all of the Arab people in the Middle East who've turned to Islam now, they are such a problem to the sons of Isaac and Jacob, Israel. You see it going on. It's always a woman. So it was with Eve. So it was with Sarah. So it was with Miriam. Who was Miriam? She was the big sister to Moses. She had no right, even though she was the big sister and may have done it in the home, she had no right to openly criticize the prophet of God, Moses, and undermine the great work that he was doing. And yet, when he got married, she criticized his marriage. She criticized his wife. She influenced her younger brother, Aaron, and he did it too. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 5, and the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, came down in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Well, then the Lord spoke of the important role of Moses in the congregation, and God said of Moses, he said, with him I will speak mouth to mouth. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I remember when I was in Florida, my wife's church, before we were married, I stayed at a house, and the woman used to have roast pastor every afternoon for lunch. She's a nice lady. Let me stay there for the summer. But wherefore were you not afraid to run your mouth? And Miriam ran her mouth against her big brother Moses. Apparently, Miriam took the leadership in criticizing Moses because she thought she knew better. And the Lord dealt with her severely. Here's what the Bible says. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, speaking of Miriam and Aaron. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous. Numbers 12, 8 through 10. Say, Pastor, have you ever seen that happen in people's lives? Well, not exactly that way, but I tell you, I've seen it. And I've seen the judgment of God upon it. Once again, this problem in the congregation under Moses had a problem with a woman taking too much upon her and got out of her place. You say, Pastor, is this going on in the church? Not to my knowledge. Well, why are you preaching on it tonight? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We need to preach what the Word of God says. And men need women that will help them and encourage them in what they're doing. And I can say my wife does that, and I thank God for it. She's done it for all these many, many years. It's cost her. It's cost her. She's paid a price. But David said, I won't sacrifice to the Lord that which cost me nothing. It will not be appreciated in churches today and in the world in which we live today, but it is God's purpose. And we need to get back to what God said and preach it. And I know men have used and abused authority not to love wives. And I'm not talking about that. That's sad. But a man needs to be willing to pay the price to have convictions. And a woman needs to be willing to pay the price to stand by her man in his convictions. There are things I preached on the second coming. My wife said, I don't know if you ought to preach that. But if you're going to preach it, I'm behind you. I told you about my wife putting rocks in her purse when they called her brother Big Booger and her little snot, and she swung those rocks. But I'm saying it's always a woman. It's so with Eve. It's so with Sarah. It's so with Miriam, Moses' sister. Satan knows that. And I'm thinking of a deacon's wife back in 1984. He was a key deacon, a senior deacon at that time of our church. And I remember her getting saved through the church and being blessed, and then she turned away. And I remember I was preaching one time, just like I'm preaching right now. I don't remember what message it was, and she just stomped out. She got right up, boom, hit those double doors and went out that. Were you there then? He was there then. He remembers it. So do I. It's always a woman. She had a good man. She turned and led him away from the man of God, away from the church. And he was all behind his wife. Problem is, she was following Satan. Didn't know it. She became an alcoholic. Their marriage ended in divorce. And a good man that was a senior deacon was brought down because he followed his wife away from God. It's always a woman in the history of this church. It was so in 1984, and I mentioned our Christian school. And in 1996, a deacon's wife, who was principal of the school, used her influence to lead people away and her husband away. I'm thinking about in 2017, it was an RBCS bus mom who got jealous of my secretary and her ministry to me and was in competition. And when she thought she had the opportunity to destroy my ministry and bring down my secretary with it, she took advantage of it. It's always a woman. Thank God her agenda was brought out and was seen by a judge. It's always a woman. It was so with Eve. It was so with Sarah. It was so with Miriam. And it was so with Delilah. Judges chapter 16 says in verses 4 and 5, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman," speaking of Samson, "in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him." How many have ever heard of a honeypot? Honeypot. How many know what a honeypot is? Raise your hand. A honeypot is used by a government to usually be a very attractive, beautiful young woman and pretend to love the man and get him to give up secrets. She acts as a spy, Mata Hari and all these honeypots through the years. Fang Fang. All these honeypots. Well, that's what Delilah was. She was an early honeypot. It says the government of the Philistines, the man of God, Samson, had been defeating them. And they said, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and be what and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So she was bought off with money. She used her influence on Samson to bring him down. It's always a woman. Satan knows. And she got Samson. And it says that they were able to prevail against Samson because he told her the secret of his strength, which was his hair of separation, and she got it cut off while he was sleeping and caused him now to bind and to grind and to be blind. He lost his eyes. They were poked out with hot pokers. He was bound. He lost his strength. He lost what made him uniquely the man of God with the power of God. What did it? It's always a woman. Satan knew how to use a woman. And so he was brought down. As with Eve, as with Sarah, as with Miriam, as with Delilah, as with our situation in this church, Satan knows how to do it, and so he'll do it over and over again. If you are a woman, are you always helping a man to keep clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission? I know women in this church that are doing just that very thing, and I admire those women. They're helping their husbands, and they encourage their husbands to follow the man of God as he fulfills the Great Commission. They do that with their lives. They do that in their homes. They do that with their children. And they're building their homes that way, and they're building their marriages that way, and they're blessing their husbands that way. And if that's you, thank God. But I've always also seen where it's a woman that will try to bring down a man. It's very interesting. Brother Jesse told me about his situation and how this message, when I preached it, was a milestone in his own life. What kind of woman are you going to be? What kind of man are you going to be? Because you will attract the kind of woman that you are. You as a man will attract what you are. Face answers to face. Amen. Look in the mirror. The wife will mirror you. And God will give you a woman that will help you to fulfill your mission. See, a lot of men are in search of a woman. You want to find a prudent wife, then be a prudent man. And God will give her to you if that's what you need. And so we need to realize that God wants women that will help men, that will be committed to the Lord and His word. Are you doing that As a lady, are you sowing seeds of discord from Satan that will bring down your man and really hurt your own home? I'm thinking of a woman who was married to a man. She was a good woman, loved the Lord. The man was a godly man in our church, loved the Lord. And I began to see as they got into the church and got under the Word of God, how God blessed their children and how they started to raise their children according to Scripture and even structured their family according to Scripture. And they had ministry in the church and they were serving God. And they were at a high point in their life. It was the highest point in their life. And the man told me, God has called me to pastor, and I'm going to leave the church. And I said, well, if God's called you. But my wife said, now, there's more to it than that. Apparently, his wife had gotten with somebody else and had gone around me and not talked to me and pulled him out of the church because she had ambitions for her husband to be a pastor. He was not God called, he was honey called, his wife called. He followed her. He took on that ministry and it crashed. He got bitter. He got into alcoholism. Had many children, and so many of their lives are devastated and destroyed by this whole thing. The church failed. He failed. Unfortunately, as it often is, it's always a woman, misguided, not working through God's way of doing things. God says that we're to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're to know how to keep rank. And so often, people think they can get ahead by going around God's chain of command, but that's not the way to go. If you're a man, remember that your love and appreciation for your wife needs to continue, but that you may be tested at certain times to stand up when Satan may be trying to get in through emotions to lead you astray, and you need to provide loving leadership to your wife when it's needed, or you'll fail. I've seen this with men. I saw this with a young man that was called to preach, and his wife got him prematurely to do it, and his ministry was hindered by it. Thank God he's still serving God. He's a good man. But we need to know how to keep rank and to realize Satan knows how to attack. And let's resist the devil and recognize him when he tries to attack. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about a message.